Ja to mam pełen gimbal. Plastic glove. And the last thing we talked about was the missing word Eli. Eli. Vatera de Gairin, so she went down. She went to the granary. Vatas, and she did Kechola Shetzivata Chamaisa, everything which her brother-in-law commanded her. She did it. So you'll notice that it says first she went down to the Gairin, and then it said that she did what her mother-in-law commanded her. Though it's out of order. Her mother-in-law told her to do things before she goes down to the garden.
Not the clothing.
The mother told her to bathe herself, anoint herself, wear big day Shabbos.
Let's put that on when she does. The big day
Shabbos. The pasuk says, the
wait,
order
first
the
go down to the garden and then what?
The Emi says she was going to put the big day Shabbos on when she got there already so that it wouldn't be...
Yeah, but that's not what Nami told her. Nami said in pasuk Gimel, Rachatz, Rasacht, Samsim, Lasayich, Alayich, Viradit. That's the order that Nami told her. Wash, bathe yourself, anoint yourself, put on Big Day Shabbos, and go down to the Gurren. So there were four things, and the Gurren was the last of the four things. In this pasuk, it says she went to the Gurren. That's the first thing she did. And then she did everything that her mother-in-law commanded her. So the order is switched. And Rashi explains, there was a deliberate switch. Because she said, if I go down to the Gauran dressed like that, adorned like that, anyone that sees me will think I'm a Zayna, a woman of ill repute. So she switched and she went down. First she went to the Gauran, she went into a private place where no one could see her, and then she did everything that her mother-in-law commanded her to do. She switched the order. She did everything her mother-in-law commanded her. Her mother-in-law commanded her? The pasuk says that Kechola Shetzivata Chamais, everything her mother-in-law commanded her. She commanded her? Yes. The answer to that question is yes. She commanded her. Rav Moshe David Vali says that she understood, she accepted everything that Nami said as an explicit command. Because by now, Rus was aware that this was not a typical chain of events, and she saw the hand of God in everything. Everything, the whole scenario was unfolding, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directing things, and she's in the hand of Hashem. We explained in the previous pasuk that the word Eli is pronounced, but it's not written in the pasuk because she saw herself, her own role was very diminished. She had no personal role. She didn't exist. And she only exists as an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Hashem wants to reveal something. And she as a person doesn't matter. It's just as her role in the grand scheme, the grander scheme, the master plan. So the word Eli is not written in the Megillah, which is pronounced. And this pasuk says, Kechol Shetzivata Chamoisa, because every suggestion, her mother-in-law made a suggestion. She didn't command, but every single word that came out of Nami's mouth was a command. And what we saw, there were instances that Nami's words had prophecy. She spoke with Ruach HaKodesh, and here was no difference. That's why it's called a command. Kechol Shetzivata Chamoisa. Pasuk Zayin. Vayechal Bayez, Bayez ate. Vayesht, and he drank. Vayitav Libay, and his heart was strong. It was tight. Vayavay Lishka Bekteho Arema, and he came to lie down at the edge of the pile of grain, because after the winnowing process, he left with a pile of grain, and he was guarding it. And Chazal said that there were people in those days that their morals were very loose and they were suspected of thievery, geneva. There were thieves rampant, especially at that time of the year, so he went to sleep there.
Why wouldn't he hire a guard?
You know, you want to do something right, you do it yourself.
Yeah, but isn't it suspicious for the guard to be staying up by himself at night?
It's his house. I mean.
Oh, it's like right next door.
It's his. I don't know what.
He's not. So, I thought you're not supposed to.
What's suspicious? What's suspicious about someone sleeping?
You're not supposed to like walk.
Yeah, but he's in a building. Okay. I mean, he's sleeping in the granary, with the grain. He's guarding it. Vatava balot. She came balot. Balot. Rashi says balot means with stealth. Balot. Silently.
What's the lashon Rashi?
Like nachas. Nachas. Vatava balot. She came balot. Vatagah Margalosov, she uncovered his feet. Vatishkov, and she lied down. So we discussed already the significance of
uncovering
the feet. That's a remez to Yibam. Shmutava Balot. Vayitav Liba, there's a number of commentaries on Vayitav Liba. What does it mean that his heart was toif? His heart was fortified. What does it mean that, and why is it important to us? The Ben Ish Chai said that this was nothing short of miraculous. He said one of the great dangers, one of the things that bring on improper thoughts, and improper thoughts, chas v'shalom, lead to all kinds of terrible things, all kinds of terrible, ugly things, is overeating, overindulging. Overeating, you know, if somebody overeats, in other words, they don't just eat their fill, but they pamper themselves, and they have a lot of delicacies and beverages. So then it's almost it's a natural reaction to that, is that a person will be prone, he's in danger of improper thoughts. And Chas v'Shalom comes after that. I mean, there's halachas. It's mentioned in the Paiskim that one eats on Rosh Hashanah at night, so then you should take great care in not eating one's fill. You should, even though we're eating many delicacies and eating good food and good wine, but Chas v'Shalom, a person on Rosh Hashanah at night, which that's a solemn day, it's a day of judgment, one shouldn't Chas v'Shalom overeat and put himself into a matzav where he can come to Tumah. That's what you know, Rosh Hashanah. We see over those four prakim of Tehillim right after davening, the first four prakim of Tehillim, these are all towards that goal, to keep our perspective of holiness, and we shouldn't come to improper thoughts. And Boaz had just harvested a successful yield. He was riding high. He has amassed great wealth. It's, you know, this is like the day. This is the day. It's a day of celebration when he is gathering all his wealth. Baruch Hashem, Hashem has blessed him, and they celebrated, and there was a danger. But there was no danger. It says, Vayitav Libo. Vayitav Libo means that his heart was good. That means his thoughts were proper. That's what the Ben Ish Chai says. Vayitav Libo, the heart is the place of the desires. His desires were good, his thoughts were pure, Vayitav Libo, and this was a miracle.
He translates, he defines it as his heart, his thoughts were pure?
Yes. This is a miracle. Rashi,
you should have self-control, huh? You'd think you'd make it that he...
I'm sorry, what's your point?
I'm saying, why is it a nesh that he...
What's your point?
I'm saying, why is it a nesh? He said it was a nesh, a miracle that he was like this.
Nature affects all humans.
You know, the V'gdali Adar, B'dach Klal, B'dali Adar, their nesyainis are not in actions. Everything they do is right and proper, and they never do anything wrong. Their nesyainis are internal. Mm-hmm. And on some level, there's always going to be a nesyain for everyone. It's not on the same level as any Nisayan which we've ever encountered. But there's always a Nisayan. Rashi has another pshat in Vayitav Libo. Rashi said that he celebrated his newly found wealth by totally involving himself in learning Torah. Torah is called Toiv. Ki lakach Toiv nasata lachem, Teirasi al tazayvu. So Vayitav Libay means he had Toiv in his heart because he had the Torah in his heart.
He learned.
He was involved in Torah. Osak. He was totally involved with Torah. You know, contrary to how some people are affected, that when they're surrounded by trappings of Olam Hazeh that takes their heart away from learning Torah, but Bayez used it to reinforce his learning Torah. You know, someone closes a business deal, so immediately he goes to Beis Medrash and goes through a very, very difficult Seisach Hashem. Because of course that's what you do after you close a deal.
This is like what Yaakov
this
did.
Why?
Joseph, he came and said Shema, right? Like, and he said, like, he wanted to dedicate that love to Hashem.
Yaakov dedicated his love to Hashem.
So
you can understand that the Pshat and Rashi dovetails very nicely with the Pshat of the Ben Ishchai. That if you're wondering why, how somebody could experience what Bayez experienced and still not come to improper thoughts, it's obviously because he took measures to prevent it. If your focus of your shefa bracha na'alam hazes to be mashkia is to delve into Tyrus, and then that's going to help a person avoid improper thoughts. Which gemara are you referring to?
The one where like you should the things of your tahara and you should do like bring your tov and you learn Torah and you shema.
Right. The gemara bracha says that Torah is a protection against improper thoughts.
Okay.
Especially thinking and learning. If somebody has an issue with, he has a problem, or he's challenged by the way his mind wanders, then the way to treat that is to have exercises. Go through exercises of thinking and Torah learning. That's a way of
like meditation or something?
Jewish meditation, that means thinking about Rebbe Akiva Eiger. You go on a trip with Rebbe Akiva Eiger, a mind-blowing trip. And that's what Bayez did. Rav Moshe David Vali points out a very interesting diak in the Pasuk. It says, Vayitav Libay, Vayitav Libay, there's one vase in the word Libay. The Pasuk says in Kriya Shema, B'chal Levavcha, B'chal Nafshecha, L'zesur Acharei, Levavchem. When we say the word Lev, we always say it with two bases. And in this pasuk, the word lev is with one base. And Chazal tells us, why does it have two leves in Kriya Shema? Because we have two yetzes. We have Yetzer HaTov and we have Yetzer HaRa. We have two hearts. We have one heart that's pulling us up and another heart that's dragging us down. And we have to deal with that. That's life. By Bayez, it says Vayitav Libay, because Bayez only had one heart, because the Yetzer HaTov had the Yetzer HaRa completely in control. There was one heart. Vayitav Libay. And this is all amazing. I mean, if you take issue with the fact that I called it miraculous, but it's nothing short of amazing that at the time of greatest danger, Bayez had himself firmly in control. He was of one mind. The Yitzhara is a very important component of the makeup of a person, but it has to constantly have a leash on it.
So you know anyone inside of him.
The Yitzhara was completely meshubed. It was enslaved to the Yitzhara Ta'iv, and therefore it doesn't deserve a base. Yitzhahara only gets a bays when it breaks free of the Yitzhatov. But if the Yitzhahara is in the service, is a retainer of the Yitzhatov, so then he doesn't get a bays. He's in the Yitzhatov's bays. He doesn't get his own bays. And that's a good thing. That's what Yitzhav Libay. Vatave Balot. She came Balot. The Alshuk says, Balot, she came with Lot. The word Lot is very similar to the name of a person named
Lot.
The Alshuk says, Vatave Balot, because she is coming to be Misakin, what light, the process that light began, but he began it in a way
who
that was
coming to be Misakin.
Rus, right. The descendant of light. Rus is a direct descendant of light through his older
Gilgal.
Son, Mayav.
She's a Gilgul, also an older daughter.
Gilgulim, maybe we'll get to Gilgulim later on.
What
is she being misakin? Because Light and his daughters had a relationship which produced a child. Their intent was to save the world. Their heart was in the right place. But for a father to have relations with a daughter is an abomination. And Ruth is going about saving the world in the right way. So she is atoning, or she is being misakin, that which her ancestor Lot embarked upon. I mean, he had a very vital part of it. But it wasn't an act that was brought to completion, because there were parts of his act that were improper. And Ruth is doing something which is totally proper. It's 100% pure. So Vatava Balata, she came in the spirit of light.
So the Vav.
She came in the spirit of light. Ben Ishkai talks to us about Shemais here. There's a four-lettered name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Havaya. Yud, K, Vav, K, the Shem Havaya.
The Turkmenic.
We don't have the time or the venue to go into this at length. The Shem Havaya is broken up into two parts. There's the spiritual part of it, and then there's the down-to-earth part.
Physical?
Physical, down-to-earth. Because there's different components in our world, in our reality. The first two letters of the Shem Havaya, the first Yud and then the first He, that's the spiritual component. If Hashem would have created a world that was described by that name, then there would be no physicality. You know? That's the malachim.
We all be angels.
No, that's all malachim. But Hashem, that's not what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted us to have a physical world. Hashem wanted a world where His presence isn't obvious. Hashem wanted a world where people could take Sheker and masquerade it as Emes, and that would be a very big test for us. Hashem wanted a world that the truth could be distorted. And we have to work very hard. So Hashem created this world, and we're all messed up. And we got to find a way back. And that's the final hay. And of course, there's a link between the world of truth, the world of spirituality, and this world, and that's the letter Vav, because as we know, the letter Vav is known as a joiner, a coupler. When you want to say and, Vav is used to represent the word and. And the word and is to join two things together. So you have the first two letters, the Yud and the He. That's the spiritual aspect of the universe. You have the final He, which is our world, and the Vav, which joins them. The goal, the mission of David HaMelech and his dynasty is to extend God's monarchy, His Malchus, over this world. God is a monarch over the entire universe without our efforts. We say, B'terem kol yitzir nivra, it says, Adon Olam Hashem Malach, God was the master of the world, B'terem kol yitzir nivra, even before we were created. Before we were created, God was a king, He was a king over all, He was a king before we were born. God doesn't need us to be proclaimed a king. But what He does want, He did want to create a reality that He's hidden and that we have to discover Him. He wanted that.
A king in this world is only a king if they have, like, someone to be a king over, so...
Yeah, so God created that concept. God created the concept that you can only be a king if you have a king to be a king over. That's a created concept.
You can be a king over yourself, can't you?
That's something else.
A person could be a king over himself, but the concept of God being a king before the world was created is something which we don't have access. We don't understand anything before the world is created. We certainly can't understand the concept of God being a king before there's one to be a king over. That's before creation. Anything before creation we don't have access to. But now there is this world. In order to be a king over others, then others have to have the choice of accepting the king or rejecting the king. That choice requires God to hide Himself. So Malchus Beis David, their mission in life is to spread God's Malchus in a world which has the choice to reject it. That's called Midas HaMalchus. In short, to join the last hay of God's name together with the first three letters of God's name. That's the mission. That's Malchus. You take the first letters, three letters of God's name, the Yud, the Hey, and the Vav, and you spell them out the way they're spelled. Yud is spelled Yud, Vav Dalet. Hey is spelled Hey Aleph, and Vav is spelled Vav Aleph Vav. You get the gematria of 39, which is the gematria of the word Lot. Vatavai Balot. She came to complete God's name in this world. Vatavai Balot. She came to take the first three letters of God's name and bring them into this world. So not that we understand much of this, but the reason why I'm telling you this and sharing this with you is because you have to realize that what's transpiring in this Sefer goes way and beyond anything we could possibly imagine. It's Dvarim Nisgavim. It's things that are flying in the heavens. This is not, you know, this is not to be misunderstood as a young maiden who's desperate for a husband, Chas V'Shalom, and she's willing to do anything to get it, as some kind of tale of Chas V'Shalom Taiva.
Romance.
This is not romance. This is not, you know, this is not.
Which part of Hashem's name is the part that equals 39?
Yud,
the first three letters spelled out.
Hey, and Vav spelled out.
What about the word itself is 1, so 40.
Yeah. Just go on to the next pasuk.
No.
Tell me when you're ready. Everything here is L'shem Shemayim.
Is it an opposite to control a world?
It's to bring God's monarchy in a world where people have the choice to reject it. There's no Malchus without another option. Without the possibility of choosing otherwise. God doesn't desire robots. Vayhi b'chatzi alayla. Chatzos. Midnight. Vayecherad ha'ish. And the man trembled. Yes. Vayilaf. Yes, pasukas. Vayilaf face. Vayilafes, some translated as he was startled. Vinei Isha Shechavis Magalaisav. And there's a woman lying down by his feet. Could you imagine the fear that gripped him? So the Targum says, describes it was Chatzi Alayla, and he realized that there's a woman there, and his skin is Yisrachich, which means
quivered.
It's like, yeah, quivered. There's some versions of Chazal that it got very hard. Like, the skin actually became very hard from fear. And there's a woman there. And he overcame his Yetzer. He had a struggle. He overcame his Yetzer. He didn't come anywhere near her. Just like Yosef at Tzaddik.
She wasn't touching him?
Only more.
According to Rashi, she was. And I'll get to Rashi in a minute.
Who says this now?
This is the Targum. The Yosef refused to get near the Mitzvahs, Ashes by Tifar. And Paltiel, the son of Laish. Does anyone know who Palti ben Laish was?
Zenkin.
Plony Almoni.
Zenkin.
Palti ben Laish was the son-in-law of King Shaul. But he wasn't really the son-in-law of King Shaul.
Oh.
King Shaul gave David HaMelech his daughter in reward for the 100 foreskins of the Plishtim. Remember I mentioned that there was a machlokes between King Shaul and David HaMelech, whether David was really married. Because King Shaul held that David was Mekadosh, his daughter, with 100 arlas, with 100 foreskins of Plishtim, which is not a Shavu Pruta. And David held he was married because that wasn't the Chepta the Kedushin. He wasn't Mekadosh with that. He was Mekadosh with the Shavu Pruta. And the foreskins was just a condition, so it's a t'nai. And it was a machlokes apayskim whether David was married or not. And Shaul took his daughter away from David and gave her to Palti ben Laish. So Palti ben Laish was living as husband and wife with David and Melech's wife. And Palti ben Laish paskin like David and not like Shaul. So machlek is a paiskim. So he put us right. So he had a quandary. He couldn't openly rebel against Shaul. He can't. So he put a sword in between him and his wife. And he's called Paltiel, the son of Laish Chasida. Put a sword between him and Michal, the daughter of Shaul. And he wouldn't come close. So Bayez was following the Messiah of Rus. I mean, was following the Messiah of Yosef, Atzadik. And Palti ben Laish followed the Messiah of Bayez.
What was the daughter's name?
Michal.
Isn't this even more than Yosef? Because Yosef saw she was supposed to marry into Potiphar's house, but he says he's actually.
Yeah, Bayez is the same thing.
He's supposed to marry this woman.
Bayez is the same thing. They all three have this common thread that Palti ben Laish could have been excused for not putting the sword there because the god Shaul was the Melech. Shaul was the Gadlador, and he paskin that she's his wife. So if anybody needs justification for getting married to someone, I think that Palti ben Laish had it. He had adequate just a basis.
Well, both sides even more, because it's perfectly
and
much Bayez, we to.
Bayez, the Gemara says even more, because Rus was not an Eishes Ish. Palti ben Laish, well, at least had him, it was Machlaikas, whether Michal was an Eishes Ish or not, but Rus was a Pnuya. And Yosef had the stargazing ability of Eishes Potiphar, that she saw that in the stars that something's supposed to come from both of them. So all three peers, they had some kind of insight, some kind of siman min hashamayim that they're supposed to be with each other. But Bayez was the greatest of all. Because with Palti ben Laish, so he overcame his Yetzirah, but she was a married woman. And with Yosef, he overcame his Yetzirah, but she was a shiksa. She wasn't Jewish. And Bayez overcame his Yetzirah against someone that was neither a shiksa or a married woman. So the Gemara says that he is the greatest of all of them. That's the target.
Isn't this one also in Gemara Gittin? Kind of Zikin? What character is that guy? The Romans made him marry someone, and he didn't for his whole life. He never came here.
We're talking about the two Shfuyas, the brother and sister, that they were captured together.
There's also someone else, I think.
Yeah.
There's also someone that they made him marry, he was perfectly mutter for some reason.
You can show it to me at a later occasion. Reilafas. Rashi says, he trembled. Why did he tremble? I mean, the pashup shot why he trembled is that there's a woman there. That's the pashup shot. That's the pashup shot why he trembled. Rashi said, why did he tremble? He thought she was a shade.
Kredikus.
Yeah.
Well, probably Lilith.
He thought she was a shade. It's in a field, they're at the edge of the field, it's in the middle of the night. That's when shadim are common. When he went to sleep, there was no one there. In the middle of the night, he wakes up. And it's the first thing that came to his mind is the shade.
What kind of guarding is that if he's going to be sleeping? He's not really guarding the weed if he's sleeping.
Well, if you hear someone come in, then you go wake up.
I'm not an expert on these matters.
I thought he was going to stay up and guard.
Maybe there was like a...
He had a guard wall.
Maybe there was like a motion detector there set up. I don't know.
She
who knows?
Went right through it.
And the alarm didn't go off, so she's even more scared because it must only shake. With
if you sleep on your mattress,
she had,
that's
she had,
covered.
You know, she had the code. I mean, this really is a problem. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't.
People won't steal if they see someone lying.
So he was going to scream out. Now, if he'd scream out, that would ruin everything.
Why?
Because people would come running. And then she wouldn't. She wanted to do Yibum. She wanted
it would ruin everything for her, right?
Yeah, it would ruin the whole plan.
Oh, so it's not a reason why he wouldn't scream.
No, he wanted to scream. He thought it was a shade. So the Rashi says that she grabbed him with her arms to prevent him from screaming out. That's Rashi. It's interesting. Ramesha David Vali.
Isn't that an issue of Nagia?
Well, to grab someone from to prevent them from screaming out is not an issue of Nagia.
Yeah, it's not their achiba, right?
Not their achiba at all.
She covered his mouth, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a. Rav Moshe David Vali says the word Vayilafas means, you know, Bayez woke up in the middle of the night, he trembled, Vayilafas. Rav Moshe David Vali says the word Vayilafas is he felt around, he felt. When we read the Pasuk, I translated the word Vayilafas as he was startled. Rav Moshe David Vali says Vayilafas is that he reached out and he made some kind of contact, you know, some kind of physical, he felt around. Because he's also understanding that Boaz thought she was a shade, and he was afraid, and he felt around, and he felt her here, he felt here on the top of her head, and he gives us a little bit of trivia about shadim. Shadim don't have hair growing out of the top of their head.
What does that mean?
It means that they don't have hair growing out of the top of their head. Shadim are bald.
What does it mean? But it's deep levels of Kabbalah.
They wear wigs, maybe?
Oh. No, they're bald.
The hair?
Shadims don't have hair.
So he felt...
Hair.
Yeah. So he felt that there was hair, so he knew that she wasn't a shade.
She's just a shady character.
Well, he was just wondering what was lying in his face.
He thought it was a shade. When he felt the hair, he knew it was a shade. He wasn't a shade.
What's with the feet?
The other day.
If she had uncovered
it's
her when, feet,
what it time was this? Bechatzia Laila. It was the middle of the night. It was Chatzaisa Laila. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that David HaMelech used to wake up at Chatzaisa Laila to give thanks to God every single night.
And is that when he played his harp?
The harp played.
The wind.
Yeah, the harp played. The harp played at Chatzaisa. Chatzais Laila, the Pasuk is Chatzais Laila Akum Lahaydis Lacha. And Chatzais Laila, get up in order to give thanks to you. What is David HaMelech thanking God for? Aside from thanks in general for everything, but what specifically is he thanking God for? And why at Chatzais?
Tikkun Chatzais.
Tikkun Chatzais makes sense if you're crying over the Beis Hamikdash, which is destroyed.
Oh.
It wasn't destroyed yet, it wasn't even built yet.
Maybe he knew the future.
There's a commentary by the Nachlas Yosef that David HaMelech was giving thanks to God for what happened to Chatzais four generations before with his great-grandmother. And we're going to go a little further into this in the next pasuk.
For what happened with Ruth.
Could you imagine what would you expect Boaz to do? Gadol HaDor, 80 years old, Talmid Chacham, the supporter of the entire generation, a respected man, a Yerushalayim, to a Moabite convert that hides herself away, uncovers his feet, and lies down. And when he wants to scream out, when he wants to cry out, she grabs him. What?
Run.
What would you think the reaction of... She can't run. He's grabbed. She grabbed him. What? Right.
She's really strong.
Right. Right. Chaim's right.
What did he say?
He'd curse her. Mm. Be angry. Yeah, you know the Gemara about Rabbi Yochanan with his Talmidim, when they said something that didn't accord the proper respect to Divrei Torah. Yoiv Eina Beivanasa Gal Shalat Samais. Rabbi Yochanan looked at his Talmud, and his Talmud turned into a pile of bones. Don't you think if Rabbi Yochanan could do it, and he lived like 1,000 years after Boaz, don't you think that Boaz could look at Ruth and turn her into a pile of bones?
It's a miracle he did.
Or cosmic vapor?
He realized that it must have been Minashamayim.
Yeah, well, David HaMelech felt that he has a debt of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Boaz didn't turn his great-grandmother into cosmic vapor. And this nice happened at Chatzais. So David HaMelech woke up every night at Chatzais for his 70 years to thank God for not turning his great-grandmother into a puff of dust. Isn't that an amazing insight? Chatzais HaLaila.
He says dust.
No, that's what I said. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that has another pshat in the word Vayilafes. The pshat I just said is from the Sefer Nachlas Yosef. So we said Vayila faces. He was startled. Vayila faces. His skin turned. His flesh turned hard. We said Vayila faces. He felt around for here. And this is a fourth pshat in Vayila face.
From Sanhedrin.
Yes, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yutesim and Beis, that the part of his body that a person has the most problems with, the biggest nisayon with, became very hard. He had a kishay ever.
What's the common in all these words?
I mean, hard, it means hard. Yeah.
What was the first three? He startled, his skin turned hard.
He felt around for here.
How does that mean, hard then?
Because he felt he came in contact with something. Oh. He reached around in the ear until it was obstructed by something. And he had a very big nisayon. There was a young woman in his chamber. Lying down by his feet, Vayilafas. He became as hard as the head of a turnip. I mean, it's a veteran.
Oh yeah, they talked about that all.
Lefas.
He physically hardened.
Rav Moshe David Vali has a kasha on this Gemara. He said the pasuk says Vayecharad, he was afraid, and then the pasuk says Vayilafas, which means that there was a hardening. And he said the two don't go hand in hand because
they do, sometimes.
Fear does not know. He said, fear softens people. Fear does not harden people.
It could become an adrenaline pump also.
Right, so he's not talking on that level of adrenaline, but this is something, B'derach Sheba'olam, I think, B'derach Sheba'olam, even we can understand this,
like
even though we're not on the level of Rav Moshe David Vali, that when someone's afraid, there's nothing like fear to take away someone's taiva. That's what fear is. Fear does that. So he says that how could one? So he explains, I mean, that Boaz is being attacked on two levels. He said that there's two things going on here at the same time. That there's the Yetzer Tov and there's the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Tov is experiencing fear, and that's very much happening. And then the Yetzer Hara is sensing that there's an object, a woman. There's a woman here that the Yetzer Hara could get some pleasure out of. So Vayecharad is his Yetzer.
Before you said the Yetzer was under the control of the Yetzer Tov.
Did he do it in the end? I'm just saying, that's what's called control. But that means that the way I said it is that the Yetzer Tov sensed a threat and the Yetzer Hara sensed pleasure, and then he controlled it. At no point in time was he ever in danger of doing it. He was in control.
That means that it didn't do the Yitzhahara didn't do anything outside the Yitzhahara unless the Yitzhahara wanted it.
The Yitzhahara always senses when there's a woman, when there's someone there that an avera could be done with. The Yitzhahara, that's a good thing, because Hashem doesn't want robots.
Hashem wants people to know that there is a threat.
I thought he can make himself into a level.
You're 100% right, but besides that, Hashem wants the Yitzhahara to sense the threat, to be attracted to it, and overcome it.
But it's all, I thought it's also possible to make yourself on a level. That you can't do that, you automatically don't.
Well, he didn't kill his Yitzhahara. He wasn't on the level of Dove and Amalek. His Yitzhahara was dead. His Yitzhahara was alive, but it wasn't a master.
It was controlled.
That means it was enslaved. He was on a leash.
So
but it's still there.
His dog was running wild.
Right, but it's on the leash.
Right.
So the fear, and at the same time, the sensation. The Yitzhahara is sensing that there's an opportunity. He says, you look at the Rosh Tevis of the words, Isha Shechavis Margalosav. That's Aleph Shin Mem.
Korban
Hashem? Hashem, yeah.
That's what Dove Valley says this?
Yes. Isha Shechavis Margalosav. So it was far from simple. It was not a simple Nisayim. And also you bear in mind that he could have looked at this with the perspective of Yashrus. It's Min HaShemayim that this woman became a Giyaris. He was aware of that. It's Min HaShemayim that I should be the one to redeem her and bring about a redemption
to
the
related.
World. He's aware of this. There's a mitzvah that's incumbent on them. He's in possession of all these facts. He himself uttered prophecy that he's going to do it. He was the vehicle for Ruach HaKodesh. She's there. He had a Kishe Aver. There's definitely basis for him to come to the conclusion that Kishe Aver is Minister Mayan too.
Probably didn't say that. You just think that.
Don't you think? What? Asham. It's a sin. Asham is like a carbon asham.
So where does that play in?
Because the last three words of the pasuk is Isha Shecheves
Margulisa. I'm saying. I know that.
No, so that means that he had ample basis to say that everything here is Kedusha, it's Tahara, it's the right thing to do, right then and there. But he saw Asham. He saw Asham. It's not the time. You have to go to a Beis Din first. They have to, it has to be clear in the open. It's got to be Gepaskin. There can't be any private cheshbonis here, based on revelations from Shemayim. There has to be a Beis Din Shamata. They have to go through the case. It has to be gepaskind. It has to be clear. Otherwise, it's asham. So, and this was a tremendous nisayon. She's not married. She's for him. He has a mitzvah. Nami held that he should do it. It's a machlokes apaiskim even. It's a machlokes him and Nami. We can't imagine, by us, we can't imagine the power and the strength that it took for him to just realize that it's the wrong thing to do. That's the nisayon of tzaddikim. Tzaddikim never do anything wrong. But their nisayon is, you know, sometimes they're faced with split-hair decisions to determine what's wrong or what's right. And they both look like mitzvahs. Both sides of the coin look like the biggest mitzvahs. That's an assign of an Adam Gadol. Pasuk Tes.
The prophecy was that when he said the thing about like collecting the leket for her. And
yeah,
that
yeah. Okay. All those are Mazim. He said, you're going to cling with my maidens. You're going to cling. Tidbuk. You're going to cling like saran wrap.
I thought that meant that she could also marry into Judaism.
That was one of the pshat. Oh. And the other pshat is she's going to marry into Judaism very closely. She's going to marry him. Yeah, v'yayimar miyot. And he said, who are you? V'taymar, and she said, anoichi Rus. I'm Rus. Amasecha, your maidservant. Uforasta knafecha al amasecha. And you should spread your wings over your maidservant. Because you're the Redeemer. Rav Moshe David Vali explains that Bayez wanted to know a lot more than just her first name. He was asking her, Mi'ot is who in the world could have the brazenness and the chutzpah to do such a thing, to come into a place of someone like me, that there's no way in the world that I would ever do such a thing. This is called going beyond any standard of decency. You're breaking down standards. Who are you to do such a thing? Me up. Who do you think you are? Is there a person in the world that could exist that would do such a thing? I mean, there are men in the world that do such averus. Rahman al-Islam. And there are women that take advantage of that. And they're doing something wrong. They're doing something that's usher. But I don't have the kasha, me up. But someone that do such a thing that you would do? I don't see where that comes from. Me utters, I don't understand the origin of such a thing. Where is this? This a person like this can't exist. Me utters, who in the world could you possibly be? Such as who you are. Me utters means you have no reality to you. There is nothing to you. You don't exist. Such a thing can't be. It's not a shade. If it would be a shade, he'd understand. If it'd be a shade, he'd understand. But it's not a shade because it's here on top. Miyot. And he was angry. And he was on the verge of turning into a pile of bones. This was it. This is imminent. The end of the world is imminent. If she dies,
Then there's
then
no
the whole
gula.
The whole yeah. This is like, you know, like in Megillah's Esther, there
I'm
were
sure
points.
The gula would have come from
there
somewhere
points
else.
Points of big sakana. I certainly hope so, but the God God wanted it to come from this.
Right.
And it's ultimately it's God that's in
well,
control.
Just in reality,
there's one bechira that we don't have. You know, we think we have total. There's one. Okay.
Destroy the world.
We don't have the bechira to destroy the world.
Yeah, we do.
No,
nuclear
we don't.
Warfare.
We don't have the bechira to destroy the world.
Yeah.
Some people do.
No, we don't have the bechira. They might think they do.
Yeah, you could
think you do. Hashem gives us the technology that I guess it's obviously Hashem's bechira, but you know, it's in our hands.
No, it's not.
Why not?
We just think we do because when it comes time to push the button, the guy will not be able to push it.
It won't work.
Right. It's just not going to happen.
He can't do it.
He'll freeze.
It's a tough thing to understand what you're saying right now.
Well, one point
well God wants the world, and he gets what he wants. Yeah.
He lets us well, think we can destroy it,
but
we really
you know,
can't.
But he does. He wants it. So if he gets what he wants, and that's the bottom line. What's so hard to understand about that?
Well,
I think it's harder to understand. I think it's hard to understand how he lets us do things that he doesn't want.
If anything, then why would he give us the technology?
So we think we can.
So we think we can. He gives us a lot of possibilities. He thinks that we think we can and we can't. Yeah, he gave people the freedom of choice to think that they could build a tower and rebel against him. They thought they could also, but they couldn't. They thought they could.
So if someone would push the button, it just wouldn't work.
I'm not responsible for answering all the possible scenarios. We just can't. We can't. Huh. Don't try it. Like they say, don't try this at home.
Or you could try it.
We can't. And what did she answer? Did she answer him the way a brazen woman would answer? Like
no.
A brazen woman would say, I could do anything I want. I can go anywhere I want. There's nothing you could do to stop me. You know, I decided I wanted to do this. I'm going to do it. And that's just, you're just going to have to live with it. She said, no. She said, no. She's Boaz, you're not seeing. You're not seeing who I am.
Still remember that?
Yes. She says, Anaichi, I'm not a brazen woman. I'm not someone that has no right to exist. I'm not someone that's eroding all standards. Anaichi Rus, I'm a Secha, I'm your maidservant. That's humility. That's being humble. She's expressing herself with terms of anivus. I don't take up space. Brazen people take up space. Brazen people, they're always pushing their way around. Brazen people, they don't listen, they just... You know, they're brash and they're uncontrolled. I'm a maidservant. I'm only doing what I'm commanded to do. I have no identity. I'm not my own person. She said, I'm not in control. I have to do this. I'm a maidservant. What did David HaMelech say? Ani avdecha.
And I'm a secha.
Right. I'm a secha is Rus. I am David, the descendant of Rus. He was not referring to his mother. He was referring to his great-grandmother. Davita anita las vla ish. I'm a worm. I'm not a man. She said, Boaz, you're getting this all wrong. I'm a maidservant. And then she said, Parasta knafech al amascha. Spread your wing over your maidservant. A woman that's embarking on a career of some kind of illicit, immoral behavior that is trying to entrap the Gadol Hador in Navera would have a much more explicit way of expressing what she's trying to do.
She wouldn't say with Lashon Malia like
right,
that.
Just spread your wings over your maidservant. She's saying, this is not about Averis. This is not about pursuit of pleasure. This is not about immorality. This is she used a Lashon Nakia, a clean.
So wings breeze you up. So she's saying this.
Wings, yeah. Well, wings. The Malbim says that wings mean marriage. She is using a lashon of anivus and a lashon of nekiyah. And she's saying, and why am I doing this? Ki gayel ata, because you're the gayel. And Rav Moshe David continues, she said, because I know it's been revealed to me and it's been revealed to you that the only way the gula is going to come to the world is through you, and you can't do it without me. That's what Moshe David Bali says. That you are the one that has to be the Redeemer, and you can't do it without me. You can't do it with some other woman. And that's why I'm here. It's Halig. Another pshat, you're familiar with the Nisuin, the way we perform the mitzvah of Nisuin is that we take a woman and we bring her under a cloth. It's called the chuppah. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Bevigdeba," that he's bogeyed her, and the word bogeyed is very similar to the lashon of baged. So you see that when someone gets married, they're supposed to take a baged, they're supposed to take a cloth, and put the cloth over. We do it by the badekin, you know, the chassan takes the cloth, the veil, and puts it over her face. And the chuppah is also a cloth over the head of the kala, that's nesuim. So the word knaf could mean a wing, and the word knaf could also mean the corner of a baguette. Where do we see the word knaf means the corner of a baguette?
Oh, when they tore the baguette of when he was chasing
it. Yeah, very good. And also arba kanfas. Arba kanfas b'deim. So that's the other pshat. Knafecha is a marriage because it's an article of clothing. She said you have to, you know, that's Rashi brings up shot.
What's the same thing?
Pasuk Yud. Vayemer, and he said, Brucha at Lashem. You're blessed to Hashem. He tapped Chazdeko Acharon. Your ladder chesed, your second chesed, is even greater, is a finer quality minarishan than your first chesed. So rusted two chesedim, and the second chesed is superior to the first chesed. We'll discuss in a moment what the two chesedim are. Levilti lecha sachri habachurim, and you refrained, you withheld yourself from following after the young men. Imdal, even if they're poor, but they're young, or imashir, and certainly if they're wealthy, you could have gotten yourself a rich young man. Rav Moshe David Bali continues on this pasuk. He develops the yisaid. The yisaid of Hashgacha Pratis. It's a difficult concept, especially to deal with in the short time that we have. But there's something called Hashgacha Klalis and Hashgacha Pratis. Hashgacha Klalis is general supervision, and Hashgacha Pratis is constant divine intervention in every single aspect. That's what the word Pratis means. Pratis means down to the smallest detail. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees everything. There's no blind spots in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's rearview mirror. I mean, Hashem sees everything. He's aware of everything, and everything in the world runs according to His will. But Hashem chooses to act with humanity as if He's not in constant contact with them. That's Hashem's choice. And that, by and large, is the general rule. It's the general rule by Goyim, by the animal kingdom, and even by certain segments of Klal Yisrael, the Tzareinu. I mean, Klal Yisrael is capable of having a relationship with Hashem that He's with us in each and every aspect of our lives, but not every Yid rises to the occasion. Okay, so B'derech Klal, Hashgacha Pratis is for Klal Yisrael, Hashgacha Klalis is for the non-Jewish members of creation, but not every Yid in Klal Yisrael is zeicha to it. Tzadikim, Hashem is with always. There's no moment that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not in contact, and not just in contact, I mean, clearly in contact, evidently in contact with each and every aspect of a tzaddik's life. There's no delay in the transmission. You know, when you talk on the phone to someone, it takes about a second. There's a second delay. It's a buffer. With the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Tzadikim, each and every moment of every small, the smallest, minutest details of tzaddikim's lives, Kadosh Baruch Hu is there with them. And the evidence for this is in this pasuk, because when an Adam Gadol gets angry, so then there's a danger he'll lose control. And when he loses control, all kinds of bad things could happen.
He
could do averus, chas v'shalom. Anger leads to averus. The Gemara says that when someone gets angry, it's like he worships Avodah Zarah. You know why? Because when someone gets angry, they lose control. And losing control is Avodah Zarah.
If he got angry, he might have cursed her and like cursed started her. Cursing her, and then what's it called?
He could have cursed her.
Turned into dust.
He could have cursed her. He could have hurt her. Happened. He could have done an avera. Who knows what kind of avera is? Anger, anything is possible. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Boaz to marry Rus. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Rus to die. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Boaz to be angry at Rus. Hashem doesn't want there to be any nuclear fallout. And Hashem is constantly with Boaz every single second of his life, every single moment. So Hashem altered Boaz's emotions. Yes, this is an example among some very few rare examples where a tzaddik wants to go one way and Hashem doesn't let him. When we learned Megillas Esther, we talked about the Yisrael of the Ramban, that Mordechai wanted to bow down to Haman, and Hashem didn't let him. Hashem didn't let him. The Moshe David Vali says that this blessing the Boaz gave Rus was keneged kavanasoi. It was against his kavana. I mean, this is based on a medrash. I mean, the medrash says that Boaz wanted to curse Rus, and Hashem altered it. There are parallels to this. You know, Bilam wanted to curse the Bnei Israel. Hashem overturned it. But the Ramesh David Vali, he expands on this. That this is a Ashkacha Pratis. It's because of the relationship that Boaz had. Now think for a moment. The danger to the entire creation, if Boaz wouldn't have been on such a level of tzidkus,
she would have been done.
You understand? Because of his level of tzidkus, Hashem was with him.
Well, like we said, Pirkei Avos, you fought Hashem's will.
Right, if Boaz would not have been on that level,
then he would have ended up cursing her.
He would have cursed her because Hashem wouldn't have been there for him. So, you know, even though it sounds like Hashem is interfering in someone's Bechira, but it's not true. Because Hashem interfered only because Boaz made good choices his whole life.
When a person's choices are the choices of that so Hashem wants to make, right, then it's the same thing.
And we saw this before, because Rus and Arpa, they both wanted to come back with Rami. And Rus succeeded and Arpa didn't. Because Rus and Arpa both were going back and forth. Should we go with Rami? Should we go home? And Hashem helped Rus make her decision. And Hashem didn't help Arpa. Why? Because Rus deserved the help. Because she had the Midah of Dveikus. So we see that even Hashem does intervene, but he intervenes based on our Maisim. So that's not a total suspension of Bechira. And you see the Pell of this. You see the Pell of this. That not only did he not get angry, but she is a stumbling block. She is a threat to him. She's someone that caused him all kinds of reactions inside of his body. Let's not fool ourselves. She is a michshol. She is the most dangerous thing to cross Boaz's life in 80 years of tzitzit, because he never had an assayin like this. And the Yetzer Hara detected her presence, and the Yetzer Hara did what the Yetzer Hara does when there's an assayin. And he calls her, look at the pasuk, Brucha At. Do you see the contrast between Pasuk Tes and Pasuk Yud? Pasuk Tes is, who are you? You don't deserve to exist. Do you have no standards? You have no morals? Is there nothing that you wouldn't do? How could you do such a thing? You deserve to, you know, they say, to be or not to be. Not to be. You deserve not to be. And then in Pasuk Yud, Brucha At Lashem Biti. All of a sudden, she's blessed from God. She's my daughter.
Someone marries someone.
Oh, that's funny, because Lot, if this was coming to be Misaken, the thing with Lot and his daughter, right? And he said, and he calls her there, my daughter.
But she's a proper daughter.
Well, here she's not actually
his daughter, yeah.
So it's okay.
He's a proper.
But it's just funny that he uses that lashon.
I know.
There's someone married someone.
My daughter?
No.
It's my daughter. Okay, let's go.
She started every day 140.
I'm game. So what does it mean that, it's another pshat. There's a commentary from the Kol Yehuda. What does it mean you're blessed? Bruchad, you are so blessed.
Kol Yehuda it's called?
Kol Yehuda, yes, the voice of Yehuda. You are so blessed. So Kol Yehuda said that he was making a comparison. He said there was Lot and his daughters. There was Yehuda and Tamar, and they all had good intentions, and they did great things. But you're more blessed than they are. Bruchat doesn't just mean you're blessed. You are the penultimate. You are the epitome because you what you did surpassed what they did. Bruchat means you are more blessed. Because what you did has no downside. And he said there's not going to be any downside. It's going to be pure with a chuppah and a kedushin and no shadow. Of impropriety. So Bruka At. That's the Kol Yehuda. They're also L'Shem Shemayim. They're praised in Chazal. But Bruka At.
You're more praised.
You are the ultimate. Your second chesed is greater than your first chesed. What's the second chesed? What's the first chesed? The second chesed is Mirin Bayas. Okay.
Who says this?
Everyone says that. That what I just said, the second chesed is marrying bias.
That's why you said it first.
And the first chesed, alright, there's one shot is from the Al-Sheikh, that's the chesed she did with Nami. But this is even greater than the chesed she did with Nami, to marry an older man. The Al-Sheikh says to marry, and other mafarshim, to marry.
The first one is according to Al-Sheikh going with Nami?
Yeah. And the Bach says the first chesed is her gerus. And it's both, you know. So he's referring to her, because it's both. Her chesed with Nami and the gerus were all great things, but to marry Bayez L'Shem Shemayim is greater than that.
Bushy sings is 80.
It says in the Pasuk, your second chesed is greater than your first?
Yes. The Malbim says something which blew my mind. You said the second chesed is marrying Bayez. What's the first chesed? Are you ready?
Whoa.
The first chesed was marrying Machlon. You heard me.
That's the first one?
That's the first chesed.
Well, because if she would never would have married Mahlon, then she would never would have come in contact with Naomi.
A Moabite woman marrying someone and him dying because of it is called a chesed?
Chesed to the world.
Mm.
Great. That's a chesed? You call that a chesed? You know, remember, the Torah is calling it a chesed. It's not just Bayez is calling it a chesed. This is a word which is written in the Torah, and it was given on Har Sinai. This word, you know, on Har Sinai, this was called a chesed.
What, chesed for like great, good chesed or chesed like meaning?
Well,
like
he's saying it's on the scale of chesed of marrying him, because he's saying that marrying Machlon was a chesed. Marrying
by his reasons.
You're not answering anything by what you're saying. If it's wrong, it's wrong. You can't call it a chesed if it's wrong. You can't call it a chesed. You can't compare it to her marrying Bayez. She's going to marry Bayez with Chuppah and Kedushah and Kedas Maisha v'Yisrael, and she's going to become the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. And Bayez saying that that marriage is even greater than marrying Machlon. He's comparing the two, and he's saying one's greater than the other. And the Malbim says, why is there a big chesed? That's a big chesed because you married a Jewish person.
So we should marry
for her. For her.
Right.
But if she didn't convert, her kids wouldn't be Jewish.
Right. He said.
From her perspective.
He said. You were an Amon and Mayav. You were as far as you could get from Kedusha, as far as you get from Tahara. Where did you get the strength? Where did you get the clarity to uproot yourself from all that tumah and marry a Jewish person and marry Machlein? That's a chesed. Chesed means giving of yourself. You took your whole being, your whole upbringing, your whole culture, your whole Weltanschauung, and you dedicated yourself to God. So Mabim is saying beferish that by her marrying Machlein, she was entering Klal Yisrael.
So that already, was her conversion?
She must have converted.
That's her perspective?
She must have converted. No.
According to the Mabim, she converted when she married.
She was converted? And
she
wasn't converted. And it was a good thing. And she was worthy. Machlein wasn't worthy. She was worthy. It's a pella. I mean, eventually we're going to have to start answering these questions. I keep bringing them up. And we keep finding them. Eventually we're going to have to answer them. It's going to come soon. But that's, you know... Wow. Call it a chesed. That's a chesed.
Helig.
It's helig. I even don't believe. Okay, so Mitch Shem, what's today? Today is...
Tuesday. Wait.
It'll be Wednesday.
Wednesday. Oh, so Mitch Shem tomorrow.